भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, entitled The Perfection of Renunciation, text number 38. Vishayendriya Samyogad Yat Tad Agre Amritopamam Pariname Visham Iva Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam Vishayendriya Samyogad Vishayendriya Samyogad Yathad Agre Mritopamam Yathad Agre Mritopamam Pariname Vishamiva Pariname Vishamiva Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam Vishaya of the objects of the senses Indriya and the senses Sanyogat, from the combination, yat, which, tat, that, agre, in the beginning, amrita upamam, just like nectar, pariname, at the end, vishamiva, like poison, tat, that, Sukham, happiness. Rajasam, in the mode of passion. Smritam, is considered. Translation. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Responsibly, please repeat. That happiness which is derived from the contact of the senses with their objects and which appears like nectar at first but poison at the end is said to be of the nature of passion. Report by Srila Prabhupada. A young man and a young woman meet. The senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses. But at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. Vishayendriya samyogad yathadagre mritopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. So this is a reversal of yesterday's verse, yathadagre vishamiva pariname mritopamam. And here we have yathadagre mritopamam pariname vishamiva. Happiness in the mode of goodness requires a little austerity to cultivate, but it leads one to ever increasing happiness and leads one on the path of self-realization and ultimate liberation. Whereas madhye tishtanti rajasaha, someone in the mode of passion can never achieve liberation. Therefore, he is sacrificing eternal life full of bliss and knowledge for temporary happiness, which ultimately ends in distress. Not a very good decision to take. Here, Vishaya and Indriya, the senses, Indriya, and the objects of the senses, Vishaya, by their combination, this is the standard of happiness. And this life, living on the sensual platform, there are different levels of existence. There's the sensual platform, the mental platform, the intellectual platform, the spiritual platform. So animals are basically on the sensual platform. Their only business is ahar, nidra, bhaya, and maithun. Eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. And Srimad Bhagavatam says, dharmena hina, a human being without any spiritual upliftment, pashu bhi samana, he remains no better than a dvipad pashu, or a two-legged animal. He may look different, he may think himself different, but actually he's just an animal in a different dress. So the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya param manaha, that better than a life of simply sense gratification is a life where you use your mind a little bit. And of course, in order to use your mind, you have to control your mind. For most of us in the material world, the mind is our enemy, because the mind dictates to us. The example of the chariot is very appropriate. The five horses being the five senses, and the chariot being the body, and the ropes of the chariot being the mind, and the passenger is the individual jiva soul, the conscious being, the person, you and me. So in material consciousness, the five horses are just running wild because the ropes have fallen loose from the driver's hands. As long as the ropes are in the hands of the driver, he can control the horses and he can direct the chariot to where he wants to go. The driver has some say in the matter. He has some choice. But without any way of controlling the horses, the driver is just a victim, and so is the passenger. The horses could create an accident, and both the passenger could be killed. So our modern civilization is like that they can't even come to the mental platform. Now, controlling the ropes, the drivers compared to the intelligence. So, manasas tu para buddhe, higher than the mind. Because the mind, even if you situate yourself on the platform of the mind, the nature of the mind is that it is chanchal. The mind is always changing. So, you can have one standard of happiness today, and tomorrow you may change. But on the platform of intelligence, buddhi, then one remains fixed. And buddhi or intelligence comes from the soul. Yo buddhe paratastu saha. The real intelligence is spiritual. intelligence. So someone who wants real happiness in life, someone who is a little deeper than the 5.5 billion animals. We're living in a zoo, practically. Although it sounds funny to say it, you know, we don't like to be critical or what's the word? Don't be judgmental. We don't want to be judgmental. That's the New Age phrase. Don't be judgmental. Judge not lest thee be judged. That's there in the Bible. But the point is that we have to see things as they are. Shastra yonit vat. The source of our knowledge should be Shastra. Yoni means the birth of, the source of. Shastra chakshus, our glasses. We should see through the glasses, the chakshu, or the eyes of Scripture. Because there has to be some standard for everything. It can't be just jata mat tata pat, as many ways as there are paths. Whatever I think is as good as whatever anybody else thinks. That never works. Because I may think that it's quite all right to drive on the left-hand side of the road. That may be my opinion. But the government has a law. You have to drive on the right-hand side of the road. So my opinion may be one thing, but ultimately there is a law. And similarly, the whole material cosmos is governed by the laws of material nature. And you can't surmount them. You have to surrender to Krishna. You have to surrender to the lawmaker and act in accordance with the laws. So, similarly, in our standard of happiness, we should be intelligent enough to guide our lives by an absolute vision. In other words, the Shastra is apurusheya. It is without the defects that we have. We have four major defects. We have imperfect senses. Our senses are limited. We can only see so far, hear so fine. And the senses get weaker and weaker as we get old. So every bit of knowledge that we take in, we make judgments based upon our perceptions. Based upon the knowledge we acquire through our senses, we make our decisions. But as we get older, our ability to make decisions diminishes because the senses get weaker. And we make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. It's not a crime to admit that you make mistakes. But it's only a fool who thinks that he doesn't make any mistakes. Everyone does. Even the topmost leaders of the world make mistakes. We have a tendency to be an illusion. How long can we go under the impression that I'm the body? It's such a ridiculous thing. Just like if you go to a mental hospital, you will find people there who actually think that they're Napoleon Bonaparte. They actually think. And you'll see them. They walk around with their thumb in their jacket like this. You know, Napoleon was famous for having his thumb in his tunic. He had a red army tunic and he always... Some people think that they're Julius Caesar. Somebody thinks he's Mahatma. The crazy people are like that. They have split personalities sometimes, schizophrenia. So if someone thinks he is something that he is not, then he's mad. And there is no evidence at all. Yashyatma buddhi kuna petri datuke Spadi kalatradishu bomajadi atirta buddhi salili nakari chij janeshva vigyeshu saeva gokara. Someone who thinks that he is this bag of mucus, bile, and air, and that his place of birth is worshipable, just like this war going on now. What is it about? Simply the mode of passion over a false conception that this land is my land. And for that, thousands and thousands of innocent people are being slaughtered, and millions more, or hundreds of thousands more, are being put into great distress just because someone is thinking, this is mine, this is mine. But the land was there before they were there, and the land will be there after they were there. So how can they claim it as theirs? It is simply an illusion. It's just a false claim. You can't take any of it with you when you die. If it's yours, you should be able to take it with you. But just like the refugees that leave Kosovo, they can't take anything with them. And similarly, at the time of death, you can't take anything. You can't take your body. You can't take your wife and children. You can't take your bank account or your car or your Walkman or anything. So, we're an illusion. We make mistakes. We have imperfect senses. And we have a cheating propensity, a foolish cheating propensity. But the Shastras, they do not, they're not revealed. They're not compiled. They're not given to us by men with imperfect senses. Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasadeva was a perfectly self-realized devotee. He was Trikalagya. Literally, we have no sense of this. But if you ever visit India, even today, even in Kali Yuga, you can see some amazing things. If you go to the Kumbh Mela, you will see people lying on a bed of nails. You'll see yogis who can actually lie on a bed of sharp, spiked nails. Even in my bedroom, I have a bed of nails that I lie on sometimes. Believe it or not. It's plastic. It's for blood circulation. Anyway, you see these things in India. You see yogis that live in the Himalayas in the wintertime when it's freezing cold and they live naked. How do they do it? Nobody can explain it. You see yogis who can do mystical feats, magic. Not like some magician, but actual magic. They know how to control material nature. So even in Kali Yuga, what to speak of in other ages? And Vedavyas was so powerful that what he has given is perfect for us. And we have to guide ourselves in that way. We have to have that much faith that if we follow, better to follow people like Vyasadeva, like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada. Better to follow these type of persons who are perfectly sense-controlled. You have to follow someone. Nobody has invented anything new. Everybody is influenced by someone. As you grow up, as you go to school, as you are bombarded by radio and television, you can't avoid being influenced. But better to guide your life being influenced by people who have some conception of a higher standard of life and a higher standard of happiness. Not that we just follow the cats and the dogs. Now this example is given here, and it always comes to this, and sometimes devotees get a little discouraged because this is such an important subject to us. You know, if you want to attract anybody to a lecture or to a meeting or a gathering, just say you're going to discuss sex, and you get a large turnout all over the world. because that's you bring. You don't need introduction. It's the only thing that appears to make us forget our suffering for a few moments. So, in fact, I heard it said that Buddha, Lord Buddha, said if there were any other desire as strong as sex desire, that he would not have achieved liberation. Now, of course, his path was a little different. He was teaching a different idea. But the point is that this sex desire, whether we like it or not, it keeps us here in the material world. And we have to go on suffering again and again and again. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find over and over again in so many places how animal society, lower society, human society, there are 8,400,000 species of life. Out of those, 400,000 are human. And out of those 400,000 human, only a small proportion are actually civilized or relatively civilized. And they can be called rational. So, there are different gradations in society. And we find in the Bhagavatam, for example, in the second canto, Sukadev Goswami is discussing with Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit does ask about these things. And Sukadev Goswami, who is a Naishtika Brahmachari, who doesn't even think of women. He doesn't see women as any different than men. He has no sense of sex, desire. There's no lust in him. So he is telling Parikshit, the king. Obviously, the king has to have some discrimination, even if he's liberated. So he's telling Vriya Esha Te Prashna. Vriyan Esha Te Prashna. Your questions are glorious. Vadiyan means glorious. Your prashna. Vadiyanesha te prashna. Krito loka hitam nirpa. Because they're meant for the welfare of all living beings. So the shastra is actually meant for our welfare. And we should take it that way. It's not trying to inhibit our fun, our lifestyle. The Shastra is trying to give us a superior happiness. Atma vit samata pungsang shrotavya dini rajanda. Nirnam shanti sahasra saha apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu griha medinam. He says that the materialistic men have so many things for hearing, talking about, but they're all related to the body. They're griheshu griha medimam and atmavit samatapungsam. Completely devoid of any knowledge. Vit means knowledge. Atmavit, knowledge of the self. Because when you get caught up in the mode of passion, it's all consuming. It's all consuming. It from morning to night, it doesn't leave you. You become captured. So, that kind of happiness, is that what we want? Do we want a life devoid of any superior knowledge? Do we want to be considered only on the gross platform, Naradama, the lowest of mankind? Or do we have a little sense of some improvement, some perfection in our lives? Are we one of those people that is actually looking for a little perfection? Siddhaye. We want to become perfect. Or at least to approach being perfect. At least to get liberation from the suffering that we're undergoing. So he goes on to say that Materialistic men, what is their business? Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayana chavavayaha diva charte hayarajan kutumba varaninava. Nidraya hriyate naktam. In the night time, they spend their energy in sex life. These are materialistic men. Animal-type men. I'm saying animal-type men. And in the daytime, where is money? Where is money to support their sex life? That's it. That's, if you look at it, you have to call it for what it is. So, as devotees, we should recognize this, that the mode of passion simply causes distress, and we should try to rise. We're in the mode of passion. We're from the mode of passion. We're from a civilization in the mode of passion. We have to try to rise up to the mode of goodness by study of the Shastra. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Shanaya Shanaya Uparamed Buddhi, by intelligence, slowly, slowly situate yourself. Uparamed means in trance. So Krishna says, slowly, slowly, using your intelligence, raise yourself from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, and then finally to Shuddha Sattva. So, here the same thing. Parināme. This, what in the beginning appears to be like nectar, it transforms into poison. That is the standard. You know your happiness is in the mode of passion when it comes very cheaply and goes very quickly. Real deep satisfaction requires some effort, and sense gratification is something that all the animals are doing. There's nothing glorious about a life dedicated to sense gratification. No matter, just being a human being doesn't make it any more glorious. So the result is distress, visha or poison, distress. And there's actually a kind of collective result today because of the mode of passion. People are, we can more or less blame the suffering which people are experiencing in the world today. And there's a lot of suffering going on. People gradually learn to tolerate, but nobody is really happy. Prices are increasing, material facilities are decreasing, it's becoming harder and harder to make ends meet, to get a job, to keep a job, to raise a family, all the basic simple things. And people are just being exploited. And all over the planet, there are more wars going on today than at any other time. Small wars, big wars. I'm talking all over the planet. If you add it up, you don't know, but because you only hear local news. But all over South America, there's so many wars going on. There's so many problems in the USA or in Asia. So much violence taking place. In the Middle East, so much violence. And this is causing a lot of distress. So Prabhupada has given a peace formula. I thought I would read that to you. It's a very nice, we used to distribute, in the early days when we didn't have many books, we distributed a lot of pamphlets. And this was one of the, right around the time of the Vietnam War, the peace formula. The laws of nature work collectively as well as individually. In the following brief but cogent statement, cogent means very systematic, very intelligent. Srila Prabhupada explains that if we want to break out of the tangled web, it's like a spider's web where the fly gets caught by some sticky substance. We're mohajal, we're just like that, caught in a web of collective karma, that is wrecking havoc, it's creating distress, disturbance in present-day society. If we want peace, both collectively and individually, because if our whole environment is disturbed, it's very hard to meditate, to worship, to live a peaceful life. So even individually, it's very hard if collectively things are disturbed. We need to take to Krishna consciousness seriously. So here's Prabhupada's peace formula. Quote, "The great mistake of modern civilization is to encroach upon, to covet or to take up others' property as though it were one's own, and thereby create an unnecessary disturbance of the laws of nature. These laws are very strong. No living entity can violate them. Only one who is Krishna conscious can easily overcome the stringent laws of nature and thus become happy and peaceful in the world. As a state is protected by the Department of Law and Order, so the state of the universe, of which this earth is only an insignificant fragment, is protected by the laws of nature. This material nature is one of the different potencies of God, who is the ultimate proprietor of everything that be. This earth is, therefore, the property of God. But we, the living entities, especially the so-called civilized human beings, are claiming God's property as our own under both an individual and collective false conception. If you want peace, you have to remove this false conception from your mind and from the world. This false claim of proprietorship by the human race on earth is partly or wholly the cause of all disturbances of peace on earth. Foolish so-called civilized men are claiming proprietary rights on the property of God because they have now become godless. You cannot be happy and peaceful in a godless society. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he is the factual enjoyer of all activities of the living entities, that he is the supreme lord of all universes, and that he is the well-wishing friend of all beings. When people of the world know this as the peace formula, it is then and there that peace will prevail. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram Suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. Those who know Krishna's position. We're in a godless society. People actually don't believe in God. Formally, they go to church. But do they actually see God in every aspect of their lives? Do they see everything as God's property? I doubt it. The Serbs are supposed to be Orthodox Christians, and the Kosovars are supposed to be devout Muslims, but do they actually see that this is God's property, not our property? They're fighting over stolen property. Therefore, if you want peace at all, you'll have to change your consciousness into Krishna consciousness, both individually and collectively, by the simple process of chanting the holy name of God. This is the standard and recognized process for achieving peace in the world. We therefore recommend that everyone become Krishna conscious by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is practical, simple, and sublime. 500 years ago, this formula was introduced in India by Lord Sri Chaitanya and now it is available throughout the world. Take this simple process of chanting as above mentioned. Realize your factual position by reading the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and reestablish your lost relationship with God. Peace and prosperity will be the immediate worldwide result. So, again, that happiness which is derived from the contact of the senses with their objects. And Prabhupada uses the example of a young woman and a young man and sex desire, and from there everything else proceeds. So, it would seem like the very first thing that we have to do is learn to live together in a God-conscious way so that our senses are under control. If we live in the mode of passion, then we can't achieve success. People do wild things in the mode of passion. Really, the mode of passion is so strong today that people are not satisfied with ordinary sex, but raping is very prominent all over the world in every major city, and homosex, which is in some ways just intense, unsatisfied passion, so that, in fact, even forget man-to-man sex, but people actually have sex with animals do so many bizarre things under the mode of passion you never think. Strange and amazing, but true. If you were to see all the strange things that go on in the mode of passion, I heard one story about a man who was an old man. He was sitting on a bench in a mall, a public mall where they have many stores and everything. So this young boy came over to him. The boy had big spiked hair. You know, have you seen that? Spike, do you have that in Slovenia? Something. So not only that, but his hair was yellow and green and purple and red. And he had black mascara around his eyes. So he sat down beside the old man. The old man just sat there and stared at him. So the young guy said, "What's the matter, old man? Haven't you ever done anything wild in your life?" So the old man said, "Yeah." He said, "Once I got drunk and I had sex with a parrot, and I was wondering if you were my son." So, my sister sent me that joke. But it's a fact. You go to New York and you'll see 42nd and 8th Avenue. They have shows on stage where people have sex with donkeys and so many crazy things. It's a mad, mad, mad world. And if we want a better world, it's hard, but we're pioneers, and we just have to be patient and work. We have to be guided by the scripture. We have to know that it's for our good. And try our best to push on. If you need a reality check, or if you need a little inspiration, you can see in India, even today, there are families who have Prabhupada mentioned that in his life he never knew cigarette smoking and tea drinking. These things were introduced by the British. They were subtly introduced to corrupt Indian culture. Meat eating, all these things. No respectable family even 100 years ago, would engage in meat eating or smoking cigarettes or drinking coffee and tea. These things were unheard of. So even today you find families that are coming in that line and are very, very pious and quite happy. They have a nice family, nice business, nice children, very good relationships amongst all the family. Husband and wife understand each other and live very peacefully together. There is a model there. Don't worry. I've lived in India for almost 27 years, so I'm practically, I've been in India more than I've been out. So I'm 50, so 23 years I've been out. So, are there any questions on this verse or comments? The fact is that under the influence of the mode of passion, people do crazy things. And it leads to destruction of our culture. It leads to destruction of our whole way of life. So, if we want something better, we have to work for it. And that's the only way. There's no easy way. People think there's some magic formula. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna will help us to control our mind and senses. It's param drishta, it's a higher taste. But you have to make the effort. There's your enthusiasm and your determination. Otherwise, the result is, you know, I'm telling some silly jokes, but it's not funny. Living in the material world is really not funny. And as Prabhupada mentions in this verse, it's Pungsa Striya Mituni Bhava Metat. That's what gets us in trouble. Okay. Yeah. Shanai Shanair. Gradually, slowly. Takes time. You have access. You can understand. You can't understand the laws of relativity or quantum mechanics. It's probably beyond your capacity, even if you slowly, slowly tried to understand it. But spiritual knowledge is something that doesn't require academic qualification. It can be realized by Dadami Buddhi Yogantam, by Krishna within the heart. And you have to try to realize it, but you have to be patient to get the realization. If you practice Krishna consciousness and follow the process nicely by reading Bhagavad Gita and by following the rules and regulations, the regulative principles, and try to understand, there's two ways you can follow, blindly or with some practical understanding of why you're doing what you're doing. Of course, the best way is follow using your intelligence.